Well, I hope that you can answer that question. Are you washed in the blood? And it ought to be a very sounding yes. I am washed in the blood. My sins have been paid for. And I am a child of God. I belong in the family of God. I've been adopted into the family. I've got the gift of eternal life. And I'm halfway there now. And boy, I tell you, if you do not have the thing, aren't you glad this morning that we serve a risen Savior? Aren't you glad this morning that we have details of His life in the Word of God? And boy, I tell you, more and more people are not paying a whole lot of attention to the Bible. But the Bible is God's Word. And the Bible gives us an account of His life, that God manifested in the flesh. We believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. We believe He was God, manifested in the flesh, and able to die for the sin of the world. And so oftentimes we come to this time of the year when we commemorate His resurrection. We commemorate His going to the cross and giving His life, shedding His blood. And we have a picture of how that He who knew no sin was lied upon, how that He was crucified. And oftentimes when I get to reading and seeing what God went through to purchase my redemption, boy, it ought to make you glad that you're a Christian. It ought to make you glad that you have that relationship with the Lord and that you know Him personally. Salvation is a personal thing. Now, I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. Now, that helps me alone after I got saved. I'm going to heaven because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I was a sinner, undone, and headed to hell, and God in His omnipotence dealt with my heart, convicted me of my sin, and gave me the gift of salvation, and I thank God for that. It'll never grow old. You may grow old and get tired of hearing it, but I, like Apostle Paul, I like to tell about when I got saved. If you've been saved, you remember the day. You remember what happened to you. You remember that your life changed. You remember that you're a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. If you've been saved this morning, you can rejoice in knowing that you have a Bible that is the true Word of God, that there's no error in it, and that God has preserved it, and you can stake the eternality of your life up on it. And I thank God for that. I thank God that I've been this week. We take the Bible. People say, "Well, you can't believe the Bible. The Bible's only is the only book that gives account of Jesus Christ." Oh, no, it's not. The historians in the era of the Lord wrote a lot about the Lord. You heard into that, and I wanted to read a little bit here. That if you have your Bibles, turn to John 18. I about forgot what I was going to do here. I've got some many things are going on here. I've only got about 2 hours to preach, and nobody's in a hurry to go home, are they, Billy? On that, John 18, and if you would, if you don't care to stand with me here for the reading of God's Word, we'll read a few verses that started at verse 28 in chapter 18 of John. Now it said, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring you against this man? Now they answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Well, take you him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Now keep in mind, the Jews couldn't crucify because they didn't use that method of killing. They stoned. Their method of killing somebody was stoning. They couldn't. They had to turn it over to the Romans. The Romans had to be the one who was able to do the crucifixion. Now into that, and he said in verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, called Jesus, said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Now, Father, may you add your blessings to the reading of your word. We sure do thank you that you have preserved your word through all generations for us even today, that we know that thy word is truth. We know, Lord, what we read today that is eternal words, and we do thank you that we are able to stand here this morning and declare our Father, the faith in your word here today. Now, Lord, may you bless those that have come. We know that every person here this morning, Lord, maybe has a need. We're mindful of that. And we do pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would just minister to the need of each one in a very special way. We'll thank you for that. We love you this morning. And Lord, may you bless in Jesus' name. We do pray and ask it. Amen. You may be seated. The historian Publius Cornelius Tacitus, he lived from 55 A.D. to 120 A.D., and he was a first-century Roman historian. And he said he was considered one of the greatest historians of Rome, and he verifies a biblical account of Jesus' execution at the hand of Pontius Pilate, who governed Judea from 26 to 36 A.D. Pontius Pilate, here you find that was the one that gave okayance to the crucifixion. But Tacitus said he, in his writings, he would confirm that Jesus did exist, that he was a founder of Christianity, that Jesus was put to death by Pilate, that Christianity originated in Judea with Jesus and spread widely. Now keep in mind, these are not Christian people. These are historians. Lucian of Samosata, a second century Greek satirist and a historian, confirmed in his writings that Jesus was executed by crucifixion and that he was a founder of Christianity and that he did exist. Now, Flavius Josephus, have his history book. He was a very prominent historian who lived at the time of the apostles and probably interviewed the apostles themselves. This time, he says that there was a man called Jesus, a wise man, I'm trying to read my own writing. He was one who ought to, he was a doer of the wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him many of the Jews and Gentiles. He was the Christ. Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men among us, undermined him to the cross, that those that loved him at first did not forsake him, for he appeared alive again the third day, as the divine prophets had foretold this. And he did 10,000 other wonderful things that was described to him, and the tribes of Christians so named for him that are not extant at this day. Now, other historians that wrote about at the time of the historical Jesus. Now, we read about the biblical Jesus. We read about the Bible's account of Jesus. But we know also that history records as well that Jesus was a person. He was the one that the Bible says that was crucified. He was the one, the Bible says, that did great and wonderful things and miraculous things. Now, next Sunday, we will deal with the resurrection. But here today, you have an account of Pilate here. He said they led Jesus unto the hall of judgment in verse 28. And anything or place was clean enough for Jesus, but they must preserve their supposed ceremonial holiness. You find that a lot of the religious leaders, they strain at gnats that they could swallow a camel. And this is what we call hypocrisy. You find this prevail all across the country even today. Now you find that this past Friday they observed a Good Friday, and into that most religious leaders of Christianity believe that Christ was crucified on the Friday, but we don't. We believe that he was crucified on Wednesday, because Jesus said, "As Jonah was 3 days and three nights into the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be in the grave." And now it's going to be hard for you to get 3 days and nights if he was crucified on Friday. And so we just hold that he was crucified on Wednesday, that they had a high day on Thursday commemorating the changes, and it was a Passover, and they had to get prepared for that. You find that Friday was a regular Sabbath, but Thursday was a special day. Now, these, like all other self-righteous bigots, would seek the blessings without the blesser. They would have the Passover without him, who is the Passover that Paul in 1 Corinthians 5:7 talks about, that he is our Passover. They are men crying for light and closing their eyes to the sun. The fact that there were two men controlling the priesthood shows how corrupt the Jewish nation was at that time. You had Annas and Caiaphas, who were partners in the temple trade, and they hated Jesus. Why? Well, because you remember, as you read the Bible, that two times he goes into the temple and overturns their table and upsets their money-making racket. And so they did not like down here, and you find that they brought a lot of fake news, a lot of lying against the Lord. And you find that they were making they were so-called spiritual leaders, and much had been written about the illegal aspects of Christ's trial. It was held at night. The prisoner was assumed guilty. They hired false witnesses. They permitted the prisoner to be mistreated while bound. They allowed no defense. After the secret night trial, the crafty Jews led him to Pilate for the final death sentence, and they would not enter the Gentile hall lest they should be defiled. But they would condemn an innocent man to death. Such is Christless religion, straining here again at things that to be able to try to prove that he was not God. And in verse 33, we looked at that real quickly. He said, Pilate entered again into the judgment hall. And you find that here that we see Pilate's cowardly indecision. At least seven times, Pilate goes from the hall to the Jews outside trying to bring about a compromise. Pilate crucified Christ because he was a coward, willing to content and to the people. And boy, we find that going on today in our Christian world today, you find people are compromising whether it be with the transgenders. I see where the governor at South Carolina is in hot water because she believes that girls ought to be playing girls and not to the transgenders. And they don't like that. They don't like the LGBT being talked about. And yet the Bible talks about it all the time and condemns it. And so Jesus here, you find that we find in verse 33, he said, Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus, Art thou king of the Jews? And Jesus answered that. Now we go on here and you find that the desire of the people. What are the people? I mean, this is what we're concerned about today. You look at the verse 28 through 32. You got the charge. You got the insincerity. Oh, the worldliness of religion. They had murder in their hearts in Matthew 23. And they wanted to hear. Here was one that he said they could find no fault in him. One that had never committed a sin. Here was one that had did miraculous things that they had seen. And yet they hated Jesus Christ. And boy, I tell you, we're finding even more so today in our own government that there is those that would not like to give any presence to Christianity and that. And so you have the charge. You had it was early, their zeal against Jesus, that you find that men have more heart for evil than for good. And you find that, moreover, if the Jews could have inflicted capital punishment, it would have been an execution by stoning. The evasion, they passed as righteous men and would have Pilate believe that they were never arrested, that they would never arrest an innocent man. Well, all the thing I'm trying to get across to you this morning, what do you think about the trial? What do you think about those that sold the Lord out, that they accused him of unrighteous things? And when you get down to the suffering of what he had to go through, I don't have much time here, but I wanted just to read in what that Pilate took him out and scourged him. They beat him, and boy, you see what the affliction that was put upon the Lord. You see what they how that they really beat him to beyond recognition. They had 39 stripes with the whip of the what do they call it, the cat of nine tails or something, and it just tore the flesh. They took him off, they stripped him down, they leaned him over a 3-foot post, they tied his hands up above, stretched his flesh, and they took and continued to beat him till he was about dead. Now, why is he doing that? He's had to suffer for you and I this morning. That death on the cross, if he had not have went to the cross, if he had not went to there and fulfilled the prophecy of the Word of God, there would have been no resurrection. If you had not went ahead and submitted himself to be the sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God, if he had not submitted himself to this cruelty and to the suffering and to the being the sacrificial lamb. In Exodus 12, you had the Passover lamb, and he was a picture of that lamb that was to be taken and to be put up, to be killed. He was a picture of that lamb to where that no bones was to be broken in it. And when into that you find that when they hung him on the cross, that the blood that he shed, when they came by to finish killing him, they found that he was already dead, to fulfill the prophecy that the prophet said that no bone in him should be broken. And so in here this morning, into that, we believe much in his death, his crucifixion. We believe that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We thank God that he was willing to step out of the portals of heaven and come down and take upon him as a robe of flesh and to live a sinless life and die a vicarious death for you and I this morning because he loved us, because that he paid the price Christ that God required. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so I say to you this morning, are you washed in the blood? Have you been saved? Have you been cleansed? Are you a child of God this morning? Do you know that Lamb that died on Calvary's cross? Do you know the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? Do you know Him that came forth that the grave could not hold Him? I say to us today that here you find something very interesting that while Pilate sat down on the judgment seat, and a centurion came to him and said, "I got a message for you." He said, "What's that?" "Your wife said to have no dealings with such men. I have had a dream, and that the dream has caused me much trouble." Now, what did that girl dream? That she would send forth to Pilate and say, "Have no dealings. Do not crucify that guy. Do not put charge to him." I believe that God, in His sovereignty, gave her a dream to see to what was going to be the end results of Pilate if he did go ahead and crucify the Lord. I believe that she got all tore up because she saw him maybe being going down into the pits of hell. I believe she into that. Have you ever had a bad dream? Have you ever had a dream that scared you half to death when you woke up? Well, this is what she had. She had a dream, and I believe that she, no doubt, that she saw the after death of Pilate and what was going to take place when he died. He died a lost man according to history, and in hell he is there today, and he one day will have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ at the great white throne judgment to stand to give an account for what he did to Jesus Christ. Oh, my soul, how sad that would be. How would you like to be in Pilate's place if you had to be the one to give an account that you crucified an innocent man, the Son of God, and he's sitting there in front of you? Oh, my soul. But now, hey, listen, it's going to be just as bad if you're sitting here this morning and you've never had that blood applied to you, if you've never accepted the sacrificial lamb as your Savior this morning, if you've never saw yourself as a sinner, as the Bible says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, if you have never seen yourself without hope, and you have never received Christ, could I say to you this morning, you're going to be where Pilate's at? You don't want to go there. And God said into that, made it way that you did not have to. He made a plan of salvation that you could have your sins forgiven, that it would be paid for at Calvary, and that you could be able to be a child of God and to know the gift of eternal life. If you're here this morning, and we can say to you, "Well, why did he do it? Why did he do it?" And I've got a lot I could say about that, but the psalmist said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus, in Psalm 22, you get home today, you ought to read that psalm and see what he went through for you and I today. It ought to make you want to live for him. It ought to make you want to give your life in service to him. It ought to cause you to have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ that you have never had. When you begin to see all of the punishment, all of the things that he went through, that he to provide a sacrificial gift of salvation that you could have and enjoy, and knowing that you could have your sins forgiven and that you could be able to have a relationship with him and to know and have the peace that passes the understanding of man. Are you saved this morning? As we stand over the auditorium here,